This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall. Jim's Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Levin. And you're listening to
Talking Brawls.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Niall McGrath. Alongside me, as always, Mark Moriarty. Mark, what's going on, brother?
I'm fantastic, Niall, and yourself?
I'm okay. I'm freezing cold. It's extremely, extremely cold. Winter is upon us here today in Dublin.
It is.
And first of all, we would like to obviously start the show on a pretty sad note. It's been a pretty tragic week for the combat sports world with the passing of Jeff Blatnick, the 1984 Olympic gold medalist in Roman Greco wrestling. And the UFC original colour commentator. Pretty sad news, and thoughts obviously with his family, and obviously yesterday we learnt as well that Emmanuel Stewart had passed away, obviously the legendary boxing coach to Lennox Lewis and Ireland's own Andy Lee, amongst many others as well. So pretty sad news, Mark, and you know, Jeff Blatnick, obviously start with him first. It's pretty sad news for the world of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of new people to the sport might not realise just the impact that Blatnick's had on the sport. Like, he's been working as a judge for a number of years now, but the guy is pretty much, he basically created what is now modern day MMA. He obviously had Hodgkin's lymphoma and managed to come back from that and actually win a gold medal in the Greco-Roman wrestling as a heavyweight in the 1984 Olympics.
Incredible stuff.
Which is just unbelievable. But the guy then went on to, because he was a gold medalist in Greco-Roman, when UFC 1 was coming about, he was the guy who came on board and put his voice to it in the Rogan role at the time, was the first ever colour commentator for it. And that gave it a stamp of approval and made it seem like a legitimate sport. And when it was still actually called No Holds Barred, he was the guy who said, when the cable companies were calling this just, it's cage fighting, it's a blood sport, it's dirty, it's filthy, it's whatever. When it was like that, he was the guy with John McCarthy, with Big John, who was sitting there in the cable office, in the cable studios, and saying to them that he rewrote the rules, he reinvented the sport and called it MMA. And what's now called MMA, he was one of the guys who sat down and helped write the rules to it, and the book of rules to the sport, took out the low blows and took out all the bad stuff out of the sport and made it into a legitimate sport.
And obviously Emmanuel Stewart, obviously Emmanuel would be known sort of probably on a larger level because of success in boxing. It's obviously horrendous news to hear the passing of Emmanuel Stewart yesterday morning. So obviously we're a mixed martial arts show, but we like, it's a combat sports world. So listen, we dedicate the show to these two guys today, and thoughts are with their family and friends. Exactly. Obviously, okay, we'll move on. Obviously, starting a sad note today, but obviously moving on, who we have on the show today.
It's show 10 now.
Yeah, oh, it's number 10. No one No one ever predicted we would get to 10.
Double figures.
Done it. So two fingers up at everyone who doubted us.
Damn right.
Don't doubt yourself.
And we've also moved from new and noteworthy to what's hot now.
Oh, what's hot on iTunes, baby.
Damn it,
you know. All right, on the show today, we have Ed Suarez, the manager of Anderson Silva, and amongst others,
he owns the Black House,
Glover Texera, all the boys, and we had a good chat with Ed. We talked to Ed about his Royal Resurrection Fighting Alliance have obviously linked up with Titan Fighting Championships, so they've merged together, and Ed talks a little bit about that and where Anderson Silva is going to go from here, possibly. Word of GSP super fight. Well, you know my thoughts on that. I don't think GSP is going to beat Condit, Mark. But it was interesting to catch up with Ed anyway. And also on the show, we had Carl Pendrett, who was facing off against Bruno Carvalho this Saturday night, tomorrow night in Cardiff, for Cage Warriors 49. And that basically, the winner of that fight will get a welterweight title shot. And Carl was good enough to catch up with us during the week. Dublin's own Carl.
He was a nice guy, actually. He was really good to speak to.
Great guy, and best luck to Carl tomorrow night. And also on the show, we caught up with Alex Bruce Leroy Cacheres earlier on this afternoon, and Alex was good enough to, you know, give us some of his time and his preparation for his fight against the Korean Kung Ho Kang.
It's, I think, November 10th.
Is the name. November 10th in Macau for UFC on Fuel TV 6, their first trip to China. So that's what we have on the show today, guys. And myself and Mark, you know, we really, you know, we've been working all week for this show. It's been a bit of a messy sort of week for us, so you know, I hope yous are all doing well. And
we pray they're all doing well.
You've missed us a little bit. But Mark, first of all, obviously, you know, we caught up with Ed. What do you think of Ed? And what was the good comments there to Ed?
Well, I think Ed is, he's possibly the puppet master of the sport, and I thought it was fascinating to see someone who, he has the greatest fighter in the world of all time ever. When you have Anderson, and you kind of, you've watched him evolve from a guy who was probably the best. When he was on the Pride card at the start, he was just an average fighter at the bottom of the card. He was actually probably in the Glover Teixeira role at the moment, you know, kind of where he's an amazing fighter but hadn't got the name. But I think that Ed Suarez is the guy who built his name,
yeah,
and built his name up to rank with his skills. But I think it's really interesting when you see someone like that who's conquered the worlds of business and that, and now moving on to promotion. Yeah.
And he talks about Glover as well. Obviously, Glover's on a 6-month suspension. He expects that to be overturned because there was a few reports yesterday.
How does that happen? How do they get it overturned?
They can
like
get
that?
Cleared if they go see a doctor.
Just prove it, or
yeah, just basically say they're okay. So he is pretty confident that Glover's going to get cleared in time to face Rampage in a few months, I think.
Does he want it for early January?
January, I think he was talking
about.
That's
insane. Well, it just sounds unlikely, but I suppose if you want it enough, like, you know, you can probably...
Yeah, definitely. But listen, we won't bore the fuck out of you, so we're going to we start with Ed, obviously, because we've been talking about Ed. So, listen, guys, we'll catch up in about 10 minutes' time. We'll catch you again. We talked with Ed Suarez, so here's what he had to say, guys. Chat to you in a few.
This is Wayne McCullough, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to say we're joined on the line again by Ed Suarez. Ed, how are things, mate? How are you keeping?
Everything's great, man. How are you?
We're not too bad here in rainy Dublin, as per usual. First of all, Ed, obviously, we've heard the news that your Royal Fighting Alliance, or actually Resurrection Fighting Alliance, are merging with Titan Fighting Championships. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and is the deal actually, has it been concluded yet?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the deal is done in theory. I mean, we just have some minor details to work out, but yeah, we've merged with Titan Fighting Championship, and now we'll both be under the RFA banner.
And Ed, what's it like to be moving into the world of promoter now? Obviously, you've been a business manager to some of the biggest fighters in the world for years, and you've conquered that world now. Do you feel that this is the evolution of your career?
Yeah, I do. I'm excited about taking on this new chapter in my career, and I'm excited to help bring more opportunities to the fighters out there. Like I said before, I think that... the abundance of fighters are just, you know, they're just getting more and more great talents out there, more and more fighters, talented fighters out there every day, and it just seems like there's less and less opportunity. So I'm very excited about being able to provide a good event and another opportunity for the upcoming fighters to display their skills.
And you obviously, you have so much talent at your disposal from Black House Gym and the contacts you've made throughout the years. Do you see this as a way of utilizing, and do you see there's going to be much synergy between you, the business manager, and your new promotion now?
Yeah, I think it's nice to have, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's just another opportunity out there for the guys. You know, yeah, we'll definitely be utilizing guys that we represent, but we'll also be utilizing guys that I don't represent. It's just really just another opportunity out there for not only my fighters, but everyone's fighters out there.
You've represented possibly the greatest fighter of all time. I say greatest fighter of all time, but you know, when you've dealt with someone like Anderson Silva, do you feel like you've seen everything from him at this stage now? Do you feel you almost need to be shocked now by something else? That this kind of world of promotion is kind of something that's going to be a change for you, a break in the routine?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities. You're still working in the fight business. You're still working with fighters. You're just playing a different position. I'm fairly familiar with the position, even though I haven't been sitting in their seat. I've seen the way it operates. I've been, you know, doing business with, you know, the UFC, Strikeforce, Pride, all different events all over the world. So I'm very excited to take on this new challenge. But I think that there's, you know, I don't think that, I mean, of course, there's, it's always changing and it's always new, but I believe with the experience I've gotten with all the different things that I've done, you know, even before I was a manager, I was an event promoter. I used to do big, you know, music events and, you know, and manage bands and do nightclubs, promote nightclubs.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of similarities in that.
And Ed, obviously moving on to the actual event itself, RFA4, which takes place in Las Vegas, Nevada, November the 2nd of this year. How excited are you about the card itself? And obviously Tyson Griffin, Efren Escudero, former UFC vets, and obviously we've the likes of you know the young up and coming stars like Anthony Pettis' younger brother Sergio Pettis and Anthony Njikuane's younger brother Chidi Njikuane. How excited are you about the card as a whole itself?
I'm very excited. I'm excited to get our first card. It's going to be televised on Access TV here in the U.S., which is a great partner for our television. You know, they're in almost 38 million homes throughout the United States, so we're really excited about that. And we're just, you know, I'm excited to see how a lot of these up-and-coming young guys do on a bigger stage.
And Sergio Pettis, there's obviously been a huge amount of talk about Sergio being the younger brother of Anthony Pettis, and I know he's 8-0 at the moment. Is he someone we should really look out for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think anything with the name Pettis on it is always interesting to watch. You know, Anthony Pettis, I'm a big fan of him, he's a great fighter, and I'm sure Sergio is going to follow in his footsteps.
You've conquered Brazil with so many of your fighters in the Black House gym over there. What was it like over there? Can you give kind of people over here on this side of the pond what the fame is like for Anderson Silva and how he copes with it and how it is for you to represent him over there? What's the level of his fame and success over there?
Well, I mean, he's huge over there. He's he's very, very big over there. He's, you know, probably as far as a sports athlete, he's probably the second biggest sports athlete in Brazil behind Neymar.
Jesus.
So, I mean, which is a soccer player. So, you know, so, I mean, he's a huge superstar over there, and he's become so big that we don't really manage every avenue of his life. You know, he's got an agency out there that helps him out there. I mean, he's gotten too big, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a good thing. So it takes more than just one person or one group of people to kind of guide his career. He's got so many different ways of making a living and making money and doing things that it's too much for just one person to handle.
When he was fighting Bonner and midway through the first round and he was standing up back against the cage, because he's so good, does he ever scare you? Because he knows how good he is. Do you ever think he's mad?
Well, you know what? I have a 100% complete faith in him. And I see what he's capable of doing, so it never really worries me too much. I, you know, I get worried just about for anything, but I mean, it's not like when he does those types of things, he worries me anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just one of those types of guys. I trust 100% he's in control of what he's doing.
And obviously, Ed, it was a great night for Black House in in Rio.
Yes, it was.
It was
we went 3-0 that night.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a fantastic night. Where do your guys go from here? Obviously, I think Glover's on a 6-month suspension, possibly. Is that correct?
But he's going to get cleared. They just weren't sure how it heals up, but he'll be fine. And it looks like they're trying to put that fight together with
Rampage.
Jack,
yeah.
So that would be good. And then Nogueira, we're not sure what's next for him. And Anderson, you know, there's a lot of options right now. So I'm just kind of sitting back. I think that, you know, we've got Rafael dos Anjos fighting on November 17th.
Yeah.
We got our event on November 2nd. Then we got another event on November 30th. We got in one of our upcoming heavyweights fighting in Bellator on November 30th. We've got one of our guys getting on the Ultimate Fighter House and here in the U.S. with John Jones And Kale is the coaches. We got a guy by the name of Kevin Casey that hopefully is going to be able to get in the house. So we're real excited about that. And then, you know, and then our next big, big fight after our, after that will probably be Lyoto. And we're waiting to hear confirmation on when and who Lyoto is going to be fighting next.
And have you any sort of inside information you can give Talking Brawls about who Lyoto may be facing up against next at the moment?
Not that I know of. I mean, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Dan Henderson fight, and I think that would be a phenomenal fight. I think that's the type of fight that needs to be on, like, a, you know, either a main event of a pay-per-view or, like, a main event of a Fox card or something.
Definitely. And sticking with Anderson at the moment, obviously you've talked about... You mentioned GSP. I saw the interview on Access TV you did last night. Is that something that really appeals to you guys, or possibly if he beats Carlos?
Well, I mean, I think so. I think George St. Pierre. That's appealing to. Of course, that's appealing. I mean, George St. Pierre is the greatest welterweight of all time, and people argue him being one of the greatest pound for pound fighters in the world. So, I mean, you know, I think it would be a great fight for the fans to really. Kind of settle the undisputed pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Definitely.
And what's Anderson's timeline like? Obviously, GSP has said in the past that he wants to, if he's going to move up in weight, he wants to actually do it right, and he wants to get his weight up and do it the right way, so it's obviously going to take him a bit of time.
What's he at a catch weight? It's not going to be at 185. Most likely it'll be at a catch weight.
Okay, okay. And what's Anderson's timeline like for that now? How many fights does he expect to have? Is he one fight left or two fights left in the current contract?
He's got two fights left on his contract.
When would you expect him to be aiming to be fighting for in 2013?
You know, he's going to take a little bit of time off, you know. He's got some other obligations to do with, you know, making some movies and doing things like that, so... We're just taking one day at a time. We're just waiting to see how this George St. Pierre fight turns out, and then we'll make the decisions from there.
Is it the same if Carlos Condit was to win? Does that tarnish a GSP fight?
You know, in some ways it does. I don't believe it should, but I could see how it would. You know what I'm saying? Regardless if he beats Carlos or not, he's still one of the greatest welterweights of all time, and he's coming off of a 16-month layoff. So... You know, I guess we'll cross that bridge when it comes. We'll see what happens, and we'll move on from there.
Would Anderson consider John Jones possibly if he was to beat Chael next year and GSP was to lose to Carlos?
Well, like I said, I guess we'll cross that bridge when it comes too. Right now, it's not in our horizon.
Exactly. Okay, fair enough. Ed, listen, thanks a million for your time, Ed. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Absolutely.
You're an absolute gentleman. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was Ed Suarez of Black House, and best of luck to Ed. Obviously, with the Resurrection Fighting Alliance, and we can obviously we've talked to Ed there, and I'm pretty excited about Sergio Pettis. Mark, obviously, he's on that card. FA4. How excited are you about obviously Njokuane's brother is also on the card? A guy like Sergio, if he's anything like his brother, you know, he's going to be a hell of a superstar in the sport.
No, I think that he certainly sourced some really crazy talent for this for his promotion, and it's interesting when you see the brothers. Is he what? How many years younger is he?
I think Sergio is 19.
19, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, 18, and, 18 maybe.
Do you know what Jimmy's come out of?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure either, but no, I think it's really exciting. I've heard really exciting things on the underground, but like, you're not going to be...
It's going to be
really interesting, and I think that's the kind of thing that Soares is looking to promote in this.
I'd like to get Sergio on, actually. We must try and...
Yeah, definitely. Because it's going to be interesting to see. There's a lot of raw talents and kind of people who are coming through the system. There's so many undiscovered gems out there, and I think that's what it's not going to be trying to compete with Bellator and the UFC now, so you're not going to have
and obviously talking of the Pettis brothers, Anthony's out again, isn't he? It looks like this fight's been shelved again with Donald Cerrone. Was it a staff infection?
Staff infection in the arm and the shoulder. It
always seems to be something at the moment with Pettis putting fights off.
Is he
maybe dodging Cerrone? Because Cerrone said it, because Cerrone's management team asked for this fight about a year ago, if I'm not mistaken, and they kept the VFD, sports management, kept being told to, you know, oh, there's something wrong, whatever, whatever, whatever. Is Showtime, you know, hiding underneath the fucking table?
Well, no, I don't know, but I just think that, like, you know, staff, you don't really toy with that. No. Like, you know, you don't dance around, like, you know, you what say you've injured.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough. I'd say he could well be avoiding Cerrone. Yeah. Like, that's a fair argument. Well, I'd avoid Cerrone. Like, it's a fucking mad bastard.
Yeah. Cowboy is crazy.
It's like when you hear, like, I was listening to an interview with Mike Winklejohn during the week, and it was just kind of saying, like, you know, a guy who's worked with Cerrone all through the years and kind of goes, you can't control a cowboy. You can't tell him to do, like, you know, you don't tell him what to do. You just pray he does it.
I'd well believe it.
Fucking mental.
And obviously, we'll move on. Obviously, we've a big card here on this side of the pond this weekend. Cage Warriors Fighting Championships 49 in Cardiff, Wales. Obviously, Dublin's own Carl Pounder from SBG is facing off against Bruno Carvalho.
Yes, the welterweight number one contender.
Welterweight number one contendership. How excited are you about this fight, Mark?
Well, I think it's a good main event to have over there, and I think Cahill's a really good test for it. Like, you know, they're bringing Bruno in, and, like, you know, he's won nine out of his last 10 bouts, and he's obviously, it's his first fight for Cage Warriors, and they're obviously excited about him. And there is that kind of cool thing about having a guy who has no track record and no one knows what to expect of him. They just have this kind of elusive character coming in who has a really good name behind him.
Yeah.
I think Cahill, I really, like, you know, kind of, we've seen a lot of Cahill in the past, and he comes from really good stock.
Yeah.
And I really hope he can do something against him. I really think that it would be a real shot in the arm. Like, I know, I think Bruno's only loss was against two. I think it might have been the Bellator champion. I'm not sure. I think that was in November. I'm not sure who it was.
Okay.
But no, but I think Cahill could have a really good chance against him.
Cahill's 10-2 himself. He's unbeaten in Cage Warriors. He's lost, I think he's won 5 on the bounce in Cage Warriors, which is great for Irish MMA as well, and especially here.
It's good to see him getting the headline as well.
We've had, like, a lot of the guys on from SBG. We've obviously had, you know, Chris Fields, Conor McGregor, and Cahill.
And Cahill's cornered a lot of those lads. Like, you know, he's certainly worked in Fields' corner a few times.
He talks to his big family. As we were saying during the week, we were talked about, like, you know, obviously Cahill's a good rugby past. He explains in the interview. We asked him about it as well. Not giving too much away now before we get into the interview. But
yeah,
same with John Hathaway. He used to play for Bath.
Yeah.
Obviously he's a UFC veteran at the mere age of 25. I think he's had 12, 13 UFC fights at this stage, and he's only lost one. Rugby is a great base for, you know, Cahill was in Belvedere College and won the Senior Cup, which is a huge competition in this country. Probably the biggest skills competition in the world, I think it is, the Irish Skills Senior Cup Rugby. And he won that, but rugby is clearly a great base for a mixed martial artist.
Well, it's that professionalism from school now that, like, you know, certainly in our area now where Cahill would have grown up and went to played his school's rugby, the Leinster school system would certainly have people in professional kind of gyms and training from the age of about 13, 14 onwards.
It's the style of rugby it goes with mixed martial arts.
The impact work and
the tackle would be...
No, that's fair, you know, fair point, absolutely.
And you know, it's just great to see another Irish guy in a big fight and, you know,
pushing
and going towards that. Like, we've 3 guys now potential UFC.
It's weird, isn't it?
Next year.
I know, it's really weird that you can actually say that, like, because Cage Warriors, like,
fantastic promotion.
Tiny little rant, but, like, you know, kind of, I was watching, what's it called? That fucking show on Sky Sports.
Oh, yeah, we know the show. Everyone,
Cage Fighter! And it's like, it's the fucking Danny Dyer of fucking television shows. And, for fuck's sake, I was just kind of, when you watch Cage Warriors, and you kind of see this clean, crisp product, and it's just like, it's so akin to the UFC. It's like a fresh product, and it's not like from a fucking bingo hall.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, the fact is that, like, Cage Warriors, and when you see something like the promotion they're putting on over in St. David's Hall in Cardiff this weekend, it's going to be a really cool promotion. It's going to be something which, it's actually a sport, not this fucking bollocks that fucking bastards are putting on.
Okay, before Mark explodes here, he's rubbing his fucking head in here.
Alright,
obviously also on the main card, Greg Lachlan versus Tim Nguyen, Lewis Long versus Paul Redmond, Pascal Hunchen versus John Michael Scheel, Ireland's own John Michael Scheel, Kevin Merv Mulholland versus Daniel Thomas, Chris Edwards versus versus Mark Plattis. And guys, you can watch the whole event, well, if you're in the States and you're not in the UK and Ireland, you can watch the whole event on MMAJunkie.com. But everyone in Ireland and the UK can watch the prelims. They start at 6 o'clock, I think. Check the Cage Warriors Facebook page for that. There's going to be four fights on the undercard, and that is live for everyone on Facebook. And Neil Seary is also in action, another Irish fighter on the undercards.
And so, yeah, definitely people try and watch it because it's quality stuff.
It'll be on Sky Sports next week for all people in the UK and Ireland, so you can watch it then, or get over to the event. There's a few tickets still available on cagewarriors.com. So yeah, listen, just obviously Cage Warriors is a great promotion. We've always plugged them here, and they're good guys. So listen, we caught up with Kyle Pender during the week, and this is what he had to say about his fight on Saturday night. So chat to you in a few minutes, guys. Thanks very much.
I was Cassette, aka Bruce Leroy, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to say we're joined on the line by Kyle Pender, who squares off against Bruno Carvalho in the welterweight division for Cage Warriors Fighting Championships this Saturday at Cage Warriors 49 in Cardiff. Kyle, first of all, how are things with you, mate? You keeping well?
Yeah, I'm great. Excited about the weekend and looking forward to getting in there now.
Obviously, it's a huge opportunity in the welterweight division for you. Obviously, you'll get one step closer, a possible title shot after this. How has the camp been going? I know you've been in Iceland as well, preparing over there, and obviously with SBG in Dublin as well. How have things gone in build up to the fight?
It's gone great. I've been training hard for a long time. I got word of this fight a good while ago, so I've put in a lot of training. And like you said, I was over in Iceland there prior to Gunny Nelson's debut in the UFC, so I was part of that camp, so it was a great experience, and the work I did in that will definitely stand to me.
And Carl, what's the week like in the build up to a main event like this for you, making the cut? What people do you keep around from the gym, and how early do you want to get over there? What's the week like for you personally?
It's not too bad, considering like you've been training really, really hard twice a day, every day for the few weeks leading up to it. The week before the fight, you tone it down, and it's much more relaxed, just keeping an eye on your weight. You do a little bit every day, a little bit of training, just light stuff, basically, to burn calories and break a sweat. So in that sense, it's kind of nice to re-energize as well, because you aren't training too hard. There's a few little things that make it a little bit miserable, like I'm obviously not eating too much food to keep the weight down, and I do what's known as water loading. I'm doing that today, where you drink between 8 to 10 litres of water in a day, and that kind of sucks because you're going to and from the bathroom the whole day.
But
other than that, it's pretty chilled out week, and I've got the SBG pro team around me, who are all experts at doing it the week themselves, so it's kind of cool to be around people that have done it themselves, you know.
And Carl, is there any extra pressure? Obviously, your first time headlining a Cage Warriors event, obviously against Bruno Carvalho.
No, I've been asked that a few times now, and to be honest, like I'm not thinking about it at all, other than when I'm being asked about it. That's the only time I ever think about it. On the night, I'm going to be doing the exact same thing I do for every fight, the exact same warm up, and I'll be walking out there the exact same way for every other fight. And when I get in there, I won't be thinking about anything else other than the guy in front of me. So, to be honest, it makes no difference to me at all. It'll be nice afterwards when I get my hand raised. It'll be nice to reflect on that, the fact that I was part of a main event in Cage Warriors, but the time being, makes no difference to me whatsoever.
Yeah, and obviously not giving too much away. What exactly and who were you working with in the camp in the build-up to this fight? And is there anything you've prepared especially for Bruno Carvalho?
Nothing too particular. I never try to focus too much on my opponent. I'm always just trying to round out my game and improve my game as much as I can. So I've just been working hard in all areas. And like I said, I was over training with Gunny in Iceland, and that was a great experience to go with a guy who's one of the best grapplers in the MMA scene, and Bruno does have a background. background in BJJ, the BJJ black belt, so that was great to get that training in with Gunny, and gives me great confidence going into the fight as well. And also I was training with the usual guys from SBG, there's no point in naming them, there's so many of them, and Arnie Isaacson as well from Iceland, is getting some great training in with him. He had a good win there at the weekend over Wayne Murray, so like I always say, it's great to see when the guys are training with get wins, you know, it gives me great confidence now that I'm training day in day out with these guys.
Carl, there seems to be a great camaraderie in the SPG ranks, and like, you've cornered a lot of guys and been a very significant team member over the years, and working with people like Gunny and that, and seeing the level up that people are taking as time is going on, how do you feel that aids you in your game going into a headline fight like this?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like you said, there is a great camaraderie in the SPG, the gym as a whole, but specifically in the pro team, there's we're all pretty close, and we've all been up in our game, like you said, consistently for the last couple of years, you know, and we're pushing each other. When one guy gets better, the rest of us get better. It's just the way it works, like they say, iron sharpens iron, and you know, it's great. There's no real, like, obviously there's egos when it comes to fight time, but when we're training together and trying to improve as a whole, there's no egos, and everyone just is there to not just better themselves but better the team, so it's a great atmosphere, to be honest, and I'm delighted to be a part of it.
Carl, you came from a rugby background and were very successful in schools rugby. Did you feel, what age did you actually come into the SPG gym to actually start training and see it as a career change for you?
I think I was 21, nearly 22 when I moved to SPG. I'd been training in another gym before that, but it was when I decided I wanted to turn pro that I looked into it, and I decided John Kavanagh was the guy I wanted to take that step with, so definitely one of the best decisions I ever made.
Obviously with the rugby, there's you've the likes of John Hathaway, who actually started off his career with Bata, who's in the UFC. Do you think rugby gives a good base for MMA?
Definitely. Like I said to someone recently, rugby is quite similar to wrestling in a way. It's like a 15 versus 15 wrestling with scrums and rooks and mauls. It has that kind of wrestling aspect to it. And I definitely found that I had a solid, even though I'd never wrestled on its own before, I found I had a good footing in wrestling. When I started MMA, it was probably my strongest aspect, and you know, that's definitely, I attribute that to the my rugby background.
Brilliant stuff. And obviously getting back to the fight this Saturday against Bruno Carvalho, what can you expect to see happen in the fight, and what sort of outcome can we expect to see, Carl?
Well, obviously expecting nothing else than me winning and getting my hand raised. As for how it happens, be whatever opportunity presents itself, I'm going to be going for him from the get go. I'm looking to take him out as soon as possible. So, whatever opportunity comes, if it's on the feet, I'll be looking for the knockout. And when it's on the ground, I'm going to be swinging to take his head off as well. And in the clinch and whatnot, wherever the fight is, I'm looking to really put it on him. And I'm going to take the win wherever I can.
Carl, from a career perspective, how do you look at things? Are you always next fight, just beat the guy in front of you, or do you see where you want to be in 3 years time?
Yeah, I definitely have long term goals, and I take each fight as it comes, but I also have goals and where I want to be in the next 12 to 18 months, and I'll be looking to achieve that. But for the time being, I'm just focusing on the guy ahead of me, and I know what I have to do, and looking to get it done.
Excellent. And obviously, if whoever wins this fight on Saturday night, presumes yourself, you're obviously going to be looking at Gael Grimaud. Then is that the you're going to be?
Yeah, the
that
Cage Warriors have looked at the winner will get
a title shot.
Whether he fights me or not, we'll see, because I'm trying to get my hands on him for a while.
Yeah.
A bit elusive like that, but
I wouldn't blame him after your last fight. It was pretty impressive, in fairness. The Swedish veteran from the UFC was pretty impressive, mate. So
So he must have had a good look at that and decided against fighting me. So I haven't been able to catch him since.
And obviously, Carl, just one final question before we wrap it up. Where can we see Carl Pendred in the next sort of 12 to sort of 16, 17, 18 months? Where can we see Carl Pendred going with his career?
I'm within the next 12 to 18 months, I'm looking at being in the UFC and starting to make my way up the ladder in the UFC welterweight division. Not focusing on that too much right now, but that's definitely that's the plan anyway.
To go. Well, listen, Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and we hope everything goes excellent for you at the weekend. Obviously, we'll be rooting for you here because we've had a number of your lads on in the past on the show. And listen, anyone you want to give a shout out to as well before you go, any sponsors or anything you'd like to plug?
I'd just give a shout out to obviously John Kavanagh, my coach, my strength and conditioning coaches in the Irish Strength Institute, Big Shots Nutrition, who hook up the SPG Pro team with all our supplements, and Vitacoco, who were also sponsoring me for this fight, the coconut water guys.
I love that myself. It's lovely.
Thanks to all them, and thanks for you guys for having me on.
No problem, Carl. Hope to talk to you next time anyway, when you have that the strap around your way. So best of luck, mate. Thanks a million for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks,
cheers, bro.
Carl.
Thanks a lot. And that was Carl Pendred, and best of luck to Carl ahead of his fight against Bruno Carvalho this weekend, tomorrow night actually, in Cardiff, Wales, at Cage Warriors Fighting Championships number 49. Great guy, thanks a million for your time. Also Carl, and best of luck from the lads here. Be great to see another Irish guy doing well. We're not biased at all here.
No, not at all. We like everyone.
But obviously, moving on, there's been a good bit of news this week. Obviously, the UFC,
that's their what?
Dana White has confirmed that he is he's put off his Meniere's ear operation for a while. He's postponed it yet again, and obviously best of luck. Yeah, he's postponed it again. It was announced yesterday.
What's it like? Because I know the operation had been brought down in severity. He got it changed, so he wasn't going
to
be.
He was supposed
to
do it after Brazil on the Monday, but then he postponed it, and he's postponed it indefinitely again. But the UFC, obviously, moving on, have finalized the UFC 154 card, fight I can't wait. I've been waiting, I think everyone has, a whole year for this fight. GSP versus Carlos Condit, who, in my opinion, is going to be the next welterweight champion. You heard it here first, so you better believe it. Also, on the card's been finalized. It's a cracking card. It really is a good card. I'm looking forward to this one. Johnny Hendricks and Martin Kampman. That's another smoking fight. We've Filthy Tom Lawler versus Francis Carmon, who was so impressive in his last fight in the UFC. Cyril Diabate versus Chad Griggs, and Mark the Machine Hominick versus Pablo Gatha, if I pronounced that right. I know I did. And obviously the prelims are looking pretty good as well. Patrick Cote versus Alessio Sicara, Costantinos Philippou versus Nick Ring from Canada. There's obviously a lot of Canadians on the card. John McAdessy versus Sam Stout, and we'll hope to have Sam and Mark on in the coming weeks before the fight, and I think we can pretty safely say that we'll have them on, because I've talked to both of them before. Obviously on the preliminary card we've Antonio Carvalho and Rodrigo Dam. Ivan Menjivar's moved back. Oh, that's the Facebook. Yeah, that's a bit strange.
I know, there's a couple of them. Cote, I wouldn't have thought would have been on the prelims as well. But,
what do you expect out of Patrick Cote?
It's a big fucking card.
What do you expect out of Patrick Cote anymore? He's one of these guys. You never really know what you're going to get. So,
well, let's get to the meat and bones of this. Like, we're hearing a lot of kind of bold statements about Condit here. Why do you think he has this in the bag versus GSP?
I wouldn't say it's in the bag. I just think GSP has been out for too long.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he's had a little bit of stick from some critics in the media from his last two or three fights, because they've gone the distance. They haven't been the most entertaining fights. And, you know, to come back from complete knee reconstruction, and if there's any man that can do it, it probably is GSP, because he's a machine. The guy's, you know, he's so committed.
It's hard, isn't it, to work out?
But just the comments coming out of him, he lost his desire for MMA. He questioned himself at one stage. I just think Condit is one of these guys. You know, he's gone about his business and he's improved the whole time. He's got better and better the whole time. And this guy just seems, you know, possessed.
How did you pick a better word. How did you pick it going into the Conda Diaz fight?
Because I conned it all over.
Yeah, no, because I can remember I was very pro Diaz in that fight, but then got very turned off by the blindsided nature of Diaz fans and the fact that people are so one-eyed about Nick Diaz. Like, you know, he's an amazing fighter to watch. He's so brilliant to watch. But the thing is, the Conda's a student of the game, and he's kind of like the really good part of the Jackson camp and the Winklejohn camp.
Yeah.
When he really studies who he's going to fight and he changes his game entirely. There is a case that GSP does the exact same thing, but he's coming off 2 years out with a knee injury.
That's the major point in the fight, the 2 years.
And like
to come back in against a guy like Condit, it's, you know,
but
it's
it's amazing how much people underestimate him, though, isn't it? It really is unbelievable that people still don't give him the credit that he deserves after that Nick Diaz fight. They still think that
he won the fight. I don't know how anyone.
There was no way anyone could have said that he didn't win that fight.
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous.
And no, but it is amazing the ferocity of Diaz fans and just fans, because he's not coming out and shit talking and kind of talking bollocks about the fight. He's a very level headed guy, and he's someone who's
actually. His dad's a politician.
Exactly, and that was the hard thing that
like a real decent stand-up.
Yeah, when they did the countdown special for the Diaz fight, he was actually like, "Wow, this is a really normal dude.
This is privacy, you know, family man, has a kid, all that." And listen, it's going to be a cracking fight that I can't really wait. I can't wait for this fight.
Do you think that GSP, because obviously this is going to be, I suppose this is Condit's playing spoiler here for ruining any potential Anderson Silva fight. And obviously we talked to Ed Suarez about the fact of if Condit wins this fight, would it ruin the fight between?
Yeah, it has to ruin the fight.
Because like, that's the thing that, like, would GSP's legacy live on anyway?
Well, if obviously we asked him at the end about Johnny Bones Jones, if this fight wasn't to go to plan, like, a lot of people obviously do think GSP is going to win. I don't. It's the only option really for Silva is to face. I know it's all hearsay.
Do you not think we've got to
face
this point,
Johnny Bones Jones?
Yeah, but do you not think we've got to this point?
But the UFC are so madly cut on having the idea of this super fight. They're so mad about it.
Do you not think it's all bollocks, though, that we've got to this point that it just needs to be super fights all the time?
Well, no, we condition fans into thinking
that they should get super fights all the time?
I don't think so. No, I think this, you know, I think it excites people. It keeps people, you know, fresh, and it's something different. But I do think that it's possibly a bit too soon. I think we should wait another year, see what happens with Anderson. He should face Chris Weidman, and he should face Michael Bisping. They're two guys I really want to see.
Do you think Anderson's going to be here in 2 years, though?
Well, he's still, what, three fights in his contract, and he's discussing a new one. No, Anderson will be around for a while yet.
I think he's going to get out just in the nick of time.
But he needs to fight Chris Weidman or Michael Bisping.
I really think that he could fight Bisping, but I think he's going to somehow dodge Weidman.
I think he has been dodging.
If I was Anderson Silva and that talented but that little bit older, I would be, if all the people I would be dodging, I would be dodging Weidman.
Well, you know,
because he's like a souped up, he's a souped
up. That's the type of guy you are, Mark. I don't dodge anyone. I'll face anyone. I wouldn't dodge no one, bitch.
And that's why I'm the champ.
No. That's why you're a fucking
score.
You're a chump.
Oh,
you can't
do the champ chump freestyle.
You are. I was away in Portugal last week. I got an email. I was in the airport. Just moving on a little bit. I was in the airport and I checked my emails. And of course, press conference call, Sonnen versus Jones.
Yeah, what did you think of John Jones in that presser? It was pretty weird.
It was good for a change. He answered back one or two questions. It's going to be amazing. I think this could really boost TUF back up, as we were talking about earlier on. It could be the little bit of, you know, flame in the fire that's going to keep the show going for a couple of more seasons anyway, because obviously they've had their worst ever ratings this
season.
Do
you think it's enough?
Sonnen can be enough for anyone.
It could really boost it,
but they'll have to do something like, obviously, like we've mentioned, Rousey and Tate would be an absolutely amazing thing to do after this, and maybe keep it going a little bit stronger than it's been. I think would be the way forward for the UFC. But you know, who am I to fucking? Well, as I said in the past, who am I to fucking question Dana White?
I suppose now they had the, since the fact that they actually had the balls to have the FX programming director on the conference call as well, was a shot across the bows that they were going to take on, they were going to take on Spike TV and Bellator in some way. But I still think that they still need to change their formula for the TV show, as Damon Martin has talked on the show in the past about as well. Just because the fact that they've had, they had Brock Lesnar on before, kind of, they've had a number of big stars in, and they've tried to do the kind of drop big stars in the past, and to reinvigilate the tough brand. But will Chael be enough? I don't know, because I just consider that Chael in short snippets, Chael's very contrived. And he's very intelligent. I'm the biggest Chael supporter in the world, but Chael's very contrived. And like, you'll notice on Chael Sonnen's Twitter feed, there's only like, you know, 70 or 80 tweets. He deletes them as he goes. And his comments are all very well written and scripted. There can be a point of overkill on Chael Sonnen when you have too much Chael Sonnen, and you kind of start to go, you start to realise it's all pre-written garbage.
Listen, people tune in to listen.
No, but like, you don't know that. You can't say
I guarantee you, people, it will be a heavily watched show. Because
It will go up, but I think if it'll be mainly the fact that moving it to the Tuesday or Wednesday, the Tuesday night would really have a huge
better
impact.
Better idea, of course.
Because the Friday is completely
Friday,
insane.
Go out and stuff on a Friday evening as well, which is another problem. But, you know, listen, we won't, you know, get in a swampy issue about this. Obviously, moving on, obviously, Dos Santos Velasquez is obviously being confirmed as well, and tickets actually go on sale today for that. So if you're in the States or you're anywhere around the world and you want to get to that, get onto Ticketmasters.
There was another
your tickets are UFC.com.
There was another one there now about drugs. After the aftermath of Victor Conte's interesting interview on Joe Rogan's show there,
fabulous,
during the week.
Check that out. It's really,
really
interesting.
Really good.
Get on board that, Joe Rogan. www.joerogan.net, and you can watch that interview because it is quality with Victor Conte.
Yeah, Matthew Riddle there was, he had his 149 win, turned into a no contest.
Correct,
for, it was medicinal marijuana use. And like,
you were telling me something about that earlier on that someone commented on. Matt Riddle.
I think it was a fairly in the know journalist who'd spent some good time with Matty Riddle and said that a stoner he may be, I'm not sure if he said that he does like his marijuana plant from time to time, but I think that the Matty Riddle, he posted his medicinal marijuana card on Twitter, and was fairly. He went on Hal Wani's show and said he stopped 12 days before, and that should have been enough, and it was enough to get it out of the system. Yeah, I suppose if people have an exemption for medicinal marijuana, just get over it now. You know, kind of just, let's just kind of get past it now, because they're letting people go on testosterone enhancement training and, like, you know, kind of treatment, and then they're kind of, you know, bumming people out and ruining them no contests for marijuana. It's getting a bit weird and ridiculous now. If he took the fight in 12 days notice, try to get off it. It's a bit DeMarcus E. Johnson of a kind of a call by the UFC, but I suppose he failed the test, whatever.
And also on tonight is Bellator 78, so if you're in the States, you can obviously check that out on MTV2 and Spike.com. Lyle Good versus Michal Sarsev in the welterweight tourney semi-final, along with Andrei Koryshkov versus Marius Zaramuskis. I hope I pronounced all of them right. And that's the other semi-final. And obviously Brian Rogers versus Dominic Steele. Cracking cards. Check that out also tonight. Listen, I don't think we should bore them any longer, and I think we should get on. What do you reckon? Obviously, we're really excited. I think we're really excited about this. I'm actually really liking the UFC on Fuel card in Macau. What do you think?
It's really exciting.
It's a good main event.
It's actually doing almost the exact equivalent, China equivalent, of what they did in Nottingham.
Yeah, it is. But listen, that was a solid card in Nottingham. Yeah. It worked out really good.
It's an intelligent card. They've picked the right kind of fighters, the regional fighters, and they've also picked some real stars as well.
Good to see Kung back in there again.
Yeah, we're hoping
against
to get
Rich
Kung somehow.
Rich Franklin. Yeah, like, we've been trying to get Kung Lee on the show for how many emails have I sent?
He's as elusive. He's kind of like, he is as a fighter.
I was supposed to have an interview with him 3 months ago, and it's still sort of been rolling on since that. So we're trying to get him on. Obviously, you know,
he's a movie star.
That
That's he it. Is
she's
doing the brass.
That's true,
one,
yeah. His agent doesn't seem to be very responsive. Okay, we watch that. We watch that. She's a lovely lady.
But anyway, so anyway, UFC on Field. No, but it seems to be a really good. It's a really good comeback show, and I'm starting to really appreciate these breaks. These kind of having 2 weeks off from. I know there is that point when you get to a Saturday night and you go, where the fuck is the UFC card?
But
you don't understand.
Me. It's always
it's
the
weird.
Nights I sit in on a Saturday.
I know.
A card
it happened. That's what happens to everyone. It seems to. The worst one was. Remember when was the cancel card in Vegas last time? Where was that? It was what card? It was two cards ago when John Jones obviously had a cancel. John Jones, you bastard.
4-1.
You sport killer Jackson. sorry, no.
That's Mark's comments, not
that
mine.
That was it. Jesus Christ. It's like the most agreeer of that comment in the entire world. but no, the fact is that when that card was cancelled, everyone had still obviously flown in because their flights non-refundably bought to Vegas and that. And they obviously got there and they got these pamphlets out there and all these websites saying what to do in Vegas when the fights are not on. And it's kind of like, well, you could go on the internet and watch an old Pride DVD.
Yeah, but it's. I actually really like this card. I think it's probably could be stronger than Nottingham one, really, from the top four fights. You've Takanori Gomi and Mac Danzig. That's, you know, bouncy. That's Takanori's probably his last chance.
I love Rich Franklin as well.
I love Rich. Obviously, he's a mathematician and a teacher, and he's a genius. And Thiago Silva and Stanislav Nedkov is another one I'm actually interested. I'm interested to see how Stanislav will, deal with sort of stepping up to that next level against a fighter like Thiago Silva, who's a beast. He is a pretty tough dude, you know. Obviously, he lost last time out to Gustafsson, but he's a tough dude. And obviously, we've Dong Hyun Kim against Paulo Thiago. Another, that's a solid, it's a solid card. And
that's the thing.
Obviously, Alex Gutierrez as well, Bruce Leroy, who we have on in a couple of minutes, we're going to put on the interview, and Kyung Ho Hang from South Korea, and he is an unknown.
Mr. Man of the World of Linguistics.
As we thought, Alex doesn't know too much about him either.
Okay.
So and obviously, the Chinese boy, Ti Kuang Zhang, against John Tuck. Ti Kuang Zhang is obviously coming off a heavy knockout. He was on the card in Japan, I think it was on.
It was Japan,
and he lost to Isaiah Tamamura by a KO punch. That was a wicked. That was one of the knockouts of the year at UFC 144 in Saitama, Japan. And he's coming off two straight losses, so it looks like if he doesn't take that one down, he will be cut. We're going to move to the interview with Alex Bruce Leroy Cacheras. Take it away.
This is Mike Dolce. You're listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to say we're joined online by Alex Cacheras, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy. Alex, first of all, how are things with you, mate? You keeping well?
Yeah, everything's going good. How are you doing?
We're not too bad. Cold here in Dublin. It's very cold. All right, Alex, first of all, obviously you've a big fight coming up at UFC on Fuel 6 in Macau in China. How's the camp been going ahead of the fight?
The training camp is going very well. I'm over here in Arizona, in Glendale, Arizona. I'm training with Ben Henderson in the MMA lab, and they are really helping me out, getting the holes in my game together.
And obviously your opponent, the Korean Kyung Hoon Kang, I think the pronunciation is it. Do you know much about your opponent and what exactly are you working forward? What are you going to implement in the fight against?
Well, I don't know too much about him. I know he's a very well-rounded fighter, so I'm working on a little bit of everything and working on the things that I need to work on most.
And how excited are you as well? It's obviously the UFC's first time in China. How excited are you to be part of the card in Macau?
Well, I'm very excited to be a part of the China card. I know it's making history, and I'm very excited to be a part of the making of the history. I mean, it's a very exciting matchup and just a big deal, I guess, for the UFC and for everybody else that's going to be on that card, so I'm very excited.
And Alex, what's it like to be going into a fight when you're going against someone that you haven't watched a huge amount of their fights in the past and don't know them hugely as a fighter? Do you sit down with your training camp and watch the fights yourself of your opponent, or do you leave that to your coaches and listen to their advice?
Honestly, to each their own. My coaches do what they will, you know. They watch the fights if they want to. I personally never watch any footage on any of my opponents. I try not to put myself in a preconceived notion of what this guy might do. I think we're all evolving human beings, and we have to be preparing for whatever it is
that they're going to throw at us. So I try to prepare for everything, try to well-round my skills as much as possible to turn on a dime, so to speak, you know?
And, Alex, when you came into the tough season with GSP versus Koscheck, you'd obviously, you'd never been out of the first round before. You'd never actually kind of had to really go the distance as a fighter. Did you feel like that was a real tester for you to be thrown in with the Sharks there at that stage of your career? Like, because you were only, were you 21 at that stage?
Yeah, I was 21.
What was it like for you to be so young and thrown in with so many great fighters? But did you feel it really made you grow as a fighter faster than you would have otherwise if you'd continued on the Florida
scene? Definitely, you know, I had to either bite down and hold on or was going to slip away. So I definitely had to really come to terms with a lot of things in a very short amount of time. And in ways it was good. It definitely put a lot more pressure and a lot more hardship on me, but I mean, rising through that has definitely shown its benefits as well. So I'm definitely grateful that I was kind of thrown to the Sharks, you know. I wasn't weaned on small fish,
yeah,
so to speak, you know. So I got, you know, when I had my first meal, it was a Shark, you know. So
it definitely
showed me what I could become.
And obviously you're coming off an impressive submission win against Demasio Page at UFC on Fuel TV 5, UFC on Fuel TV, Muniz versus Weidman. How pissed off were you about the Figueroa fight and the fact that you were docked those 2 points? It really should be, you should be coming off two straight wins. How frustrating was that, the fact that Herb Dean docked you the 2 points and clearly the fight won, if that hadn't been the case?
Well, honestly, you know, I was down because I lost, yeah. I felt like I had that victory, and it should have been mine, of course. You know, I felt like I won the fight. I was down that the fact that I lost and that they did call me on such a bogus call, even though when it's obvious, if you actually look at the tapes, most of the two of the kicks never really landed on his groin. He was kind of milking it and just kind of like pulling on, you know, pulling a cause check with the ghost, with the ghost and whatnot, I guess. I don't know what it was, but the guy was really, it wasn't a real shot to the groin, you know, and I can honestly attest to that. It was my leg that was hitting his leg. And I know when I hit somebody in the groin, especially we got cups on, I ain't felt nothing hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's supposed to be speculation, definitely, but I didn't get too mad. I didn't dwell on it at all because I knew I won. Yeah. And I just kept working on what I needed to work on and get back in, because I knew the next time I was just going to win. I'll win the next fight, you know?
Alex, does it play in your mind when Herb obviously deducted the 2 points? When you know the 2 points are deducted, does it get in your head as a fighter that you have to fight for the knockout now and you have to finish this quickly? Does it make you panic as a fighter, or what goes through your mind in that sort of a situation?
Well, no, it doesn't. It didn't affect me at all, you know. Even, first of all, I never heard of a 2 point deduction, and even with the point deduction, Figueroa literally only hit me one time, which was the big kick to the head. Other than that, it was the entire three rounds was completely dominated by me. So it didn't affect me. It didn't make me want to rush at all either. You know, I also got into it got in my head saying, if that's the way they want to win, then, you know, I'm here to fight. I wasn't here to go and win off of a point deduction or disqualification. You know, I came here to test my skills. I'm not here just to win. I'm here to fight. So it doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me rush. I'm going to still stay there, and I'm going to still fight the way I want to fight. If that's the way they want to win, then let them win that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all. Yeah. You know, I know that when it comes to the true test, that I'm going to beat them.
And Alex, you're obviously a very confident character, and you're very right to be. Where do you see yourself in the bantamweight division at the moment?
I see myself in a good spot. I see myself on a rise. You know, and I want to keep it that way. I'm not concerned with whatever's to come. I'm just trying to be better on that day for those 15 minutes and that moment of the now. And I know that if I keep doing that, it will propel me forward.
Yeah. And what can we expect to happen in the fight in Macau in China?
I don't know what to expect. I can't tell you. I'm not fighting yet, but I can tell you to expect an exciting fight. Is what I put on every time I'm in there.
And how long, Alex, how long are you hoping to go over there with your camp in prep for the fight? Obviously traveling with a weight cut, or are things going well in preparation, and how long do you want to adjust to the climate over there?
Whatever the UFC gives me, you know, I can't argue with them and whatnot, so I don't mind whatever time they give me. I know that I'll be prepared, that I'll be able to adjust, as well as the camp is going great, the weight's fine, and everything's going smoothly so far. So if it's about the jet lag and the climbing change and whatnot, I don't think I'm going to have any trouble over here. Mm. I think I already dealt with the hardest climbing change, being up here in Arizona at such a high elevation, training with current UFC world champion Ben Henderson. So I think everything else is going to be a nice, easy streak over there in China, so I don't think I'm going to have a problem doing that.
And obviously, Alex, you'd actually, after the Headers defeat, you dropped down to bantamweight now. Do you feel at home now at bantamweight? Do you feel that this is where you're meant to be as a fighter? This is the weight you're meant to be?
The thing is, I was pretty much always around that weight class. Even when I was fighting at 145, I was only cutting about 5 pounds.
Oh, cool.
And at the UFC show, I was only at 55 because that was the only weight class that they had at the time.
Yeah.
The lightest weight class that they had at the time. So bantamweight definitely is home for me, or was always home. It's just the opportunities weren't always there to fight at bantamweight in the UFC. So once they arisen, I definitely took advantage of it.
And Alex, where can we expect to see you in the next year of your career? Where do you want to go from here?
As far as I can take myself, you know, I'm always going to push it. I'm always going to try and be better tomorrow than what I am today. So with that work ethic and with that drive and determination, wherever that takes me, we'll see where I'll be in a year, but I can't tell you that much.
Excellent stuff. Alex, would you like to plug anyone before we wrap it up?
I'd like to thank my management team, First Round Management. They're great guys. They helped me out with everything. I'd like to thank my coach, Manuel Lopez, and my training partners back in Miami. As well, I'd like to thank the MMA Lab, Ben Henderson, John Crouch, for coaching me through this training camp as well.
And where can people, what's your Twitter handle so people can follow you on Twitter?
My Twitter handle is @BruceLeroyGlow, all one word.
Awesome, mate. Listen, best of luck in Macau and China, and we hope everything goes great for you, and hope to talk to you again soon in the future.
Absolute legend, man.
Thank you very much.
And that was Bruce Leroy, a.k.a. Alex Cherez. Mark, very confident young man, and obviously, you know, he should be. What can we expect? What realistically do you think is going to happen with Bruce Leroy in the next year?
Well, I don't know. Like, you know, it always kind of pisses me off when I hear someone just like, you know, kind of his talent not wanting to say he wants the title.
Yeah.
I think that possibly pisses off Dana and Joe Silva, and that, like, you know, when
he's a talented boy,
he could have much more than he's getting.
But he really is coming off 3 straight wins, because obviously that fight was a complete joke, as he explained about the groin kick. So he won the fight easy. So that will put him to 3, you know, 3 straight wins.
It's the hard thing, that when you have 3 straight wins, you're kind of looking to be in contention. And when you're 24,
he's so young as well. Like, he's had 18 fights already, 13-5, I think his record is, and you know, the guy's he's a bundle of talent. And listen, best of luck to him.
It's strange now that I think that the division now, I think he seems to be more confident.
Well, as you said, he's one of the few guys fighting on his own weight.
Yeah,
he
sure.
said like he sees him, and there should be more of that going around. There isn't, sadly. But listen, let's not dwell on this too much. And listen, Beth, thanks a million to Alex for coming on as well. Gentlemen, obviously, thanks a million for Alex for coming on, and best of luck to him on the UFC Fuel card in Macau in China. So, Mark, moving on, obviously, this week we heard the stories that, not the stories, we heard Dana White say basically about there will be a women's division in the UFC. It's only a matter of time. And obviously, we caught up with Misha Tate and Shannon Knapp last week?
Yeah, it was last week, yeah.
Last week, and obviously, Misha, you know, she expressed a desire to be on TUF and for the women to headline a UFC event in the coming year. And she thinks it could be the biggest thing the UFC have ever done. Obviously, there's been a huge, you know, response on Twitter to this, and we had a few people actually tweeting us as well, listening to the interview and telling us what they thought about it. And you can find us at Talking Brawls on Twitter. So no, it was, you know, it was interesting to what Misha had to say. She wants to be all over it, is basically what she said regarding the, you know, the Ultimate Fighter situation. And I think it'd be a great idea. I think it's a natural progression after Son and Jones series to go on to the women if they're, you know, in the UFC at that time. But what are your thoughts on it? It's obviously, you know, the women are so talented as well. We talked Misha and Julie Kedzie. That was some fight, you know, and obviously the Ronda Misha fight was incredible as well. So what do you expect to see, and what do you make of the comments from Dana White?
There's a strong argument that, like, Dana White saying that was a shot across the bows, saying that, that Showtime, its days with Strikeforce are numbered. I do think that Dana's saying that it hasn't changed that much. It just means that it's going to happen in the future. It still has to, like, this card in January is going to happen, I'm pretty sure, with Strikeforce. And the fact is that
the super show
with
it's a good thing to do. Sorry, I know I shouldn't interrupt you. It's a good thing to do. They need to go out in a bang. We'll talk about that in a minute.
But it's a good thing to do, but it's only a good thing to do if you're willing to accept the fact that you're going out of business. If you're willing to sell that you're wrapping things up, because they're going out in a high. But if they weren't going out in a high, if they're trying to run a steady organization on Showtime, this is a fucking stupid move to make, because they're trying to chuck Daniel Cormier, Ronda Rousey. They want Gil Melendez back. Gil Melendez has said that he's actually not going to require surgery and should be able to make a January return for the Pat Healy fight on the January card. He's not entirely certain, but he's hoping for that anyway. To do such a stacked card as a send-off is fantastic, but like you can only say that Dana White knows something. Strikeforce is going out. It's interesting with Bellator moving on to Spike TV now, so technically Showtime will be out without a MMA child, you know, kind of, so to speak. But there's a huge possibility that, like, what do you think? That could there be a possibility that maybe Ronda Rousey could be? Do you think she could headline a UFC, a Fox card, maybe in the next year?
Yes.
Not a fuel card, because that's shite. A fuel card doesn't mean nothing. You know, couldn't have been.
I do think she could headline, but it depends who she's fighting. It has to be Misha Tate, in my eyes.
Well, Misha Tate,
and Misha
or
said she's not ready for her yet. She's obviously in Brazil at the moment, working on her ground game and other things. I think it'd have to be Misha. Cause
well, Misha or Cyborg. Cyborg could do it as well.
Cyborg could do it as well, but
either could do it.
I don't think that's going to happen. The Cyborg fight, really, from what we've heard.
Oh, come on! Like, she has to do it. Do you not think that they're building it up? They're kind of edging it, pretending
they're
not.
Yeah, but it's.
I think Dana.
Like Dana White's a pretty straight up guy. Let's be honest. Most time about.
He's a promoter though as well. He's like, you know, he's straight up to the point of still selling a product to us. Like, you know, he's only straight up to when he want to what he wants us to know.
Obviously as well. Yeah, it could happen. It should happen. But
like, if there's any possibility of it happening and they don't make it happen, it's
well the
sad.
First the first women's fight in the UFC will headline. I think. I think it'll have to.
But would it be a fuel or a Fox card? Because I think it's too big for a Fox, for a fuel card. Because like Ronda Rousey, she's the third or fourth biggest promoted product by the UFC.
I think it'd be on Fox because she's gone mainstream in ESPN.
And if you set the precedent of her being that much of a star, I suppose then it makes her even bigger a star.
And obviously there was a lot of controversy as well, sort of moving on a little bit here with the Bjorn Rebney. So in a quick word, Mark, is this Strikeforce, you know, mega card going to happen? In January, obviously we've heard that Gil, I don't think Gil's going to be ready. If it is the case, it's going to be in January, and obviously that puts Pat Healy's title shot yet again in the air. You got to feel sorry for our good mate on the show here, Pat. Like, what the fuck? It's very frustrating.
The gods
really
are fucking toying with him. It's fucking pain. Sorry, do you know who's pain? It's fucking Jake Shields popped fucking Gil Melendez's shoulder in training. I blame him for it. But
will it happen?
Fucking hell. It has to happen. This card is going to happen. I have an unfortunate suspicion and feeling that Gil Melendez isn't going to take part in that card. I don't know why, but I think that everyone else... I think
doesn't
that,
sound like he is.
I think Gil Melendez is holding off. I feel like he's playing coy and he's holding off and hoping to just see the wrap up of Strikeforce and then be able to move over and be UFC. In the mid card in the UFC, and that's what he's going to be. Like he's going to go over. He's going to be the champ, but he's going to be the mid card champ. I feel really sorry for Pat Healy, because I don't know what's going. I hope that Pat can wrangle a good deal and be able to work himself into a good situation there.
Pat's an absolute gentleman and a top friend of the show here at Talking Brawls.
Do you think actually? Sorry, no. Can I just ask? What do you think of an impact? Do you think this is going to have on?
Of course, you can ask me a question.
No, sorry. Oh, this is amazing. Do you think this is going to have much of an impact on Bellator? Do you think that much of the talent? Because like when you think that Eddie Alvarez and sorry, this is another big. Situation of the week.
Negotiating his deal, obviously.
Yeah, Eddie Alvarez has 90 days at the moment. I think it finished on October 16th, and he has 90 days to negotiate.
Yeah.
And obviously with Bellator about to go on Spike TV from MTV2, if they don't try like as hard as they possibly can to get Eddie Alvarez. He was getting $100,000 a fight.
They have to.
$100,000 a fight. That's a huge amount of money.
It is. But they have to keep him. They have to keep these guys if they really want to compete now, especially with Strikeforce. If it does go under in January, they have to keep these guys, you know, to keep the promotion ticking and to keep the value of the promotion and to keep, you know, keep the promotion at the level that it's at the moment, which is, yeah, you know, it's a really, really top standard.
But with that fucking money, like, you know,
The only thing is the knockoff effect. They might possibly get, you know, some more fighters coming through that mightn't make the cut with the UFC or be signed by the UFC. Maybe one or two big names. You'd never know what's in these guys' contracts. If the company goes under, they could be free agents. We don't know because it's a completely separate deal. Well, obviously they say it's a separate deal. It's obviously with Showtime, Strikeforce's deal. So
yeah,
we're not sure what's in these guys' contracts, so we can't comment on that. We'll have to just wait and see till Strikeforce, you know, once it wraps up, what happens. And this is only speculation.
It's awful, isn't it? It's speculation, knowing it is really.
I think every other journalist has agreed with us on this as well, on Twitter and you know, articles they've written that it is going to wrap up. But listen, we can only wait and see.
We can speculate all we want.
If it happens. It happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, it's going to be good.
Sailor Strikeforce.
It's going to be good for us. And Strikeforce gave us some great, you know, memorable moments as well. And you know,
and they still do fucking good ratings.
They still do
better ratings than fuel cards. Like, you're talking about
incredibly enjoyable. So
it's a hell of a lot better than The Ultimate Fighter.
I'd watch any mixed martial arts. You know me and geez, what was that thing we saw? The tag team mixed martial arts.
Oh Jesus! Two on two. No, it's not tag team. It's two on two, mixed martial arts. Oh sweet Jesus! If you have it there, I think it was your man Ferrer. Or I can't remember who started up. It's in a casino in
the desert somewhere.
Oh, in the desert. And it's 2-on-2, and when someone it's not even tag team, it's when someone gets beaten or submits, it's then 2-on-1. there's two referees in the cage. This is just like, it's, you know, this is what's going to get the sport respected as a mainstream sport. This is probably going to get accepted into the Olympics before anything else. Like, you know, absolutely, this is the way to go. It's the future.
Fantastic
evolution.
Before we wrap things up in a couple of minutes, we just want to say, documentary, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, our mates over at Severe MMA, Mark,
they amazing.
Have a fabulous documentary. What is it called? A Million Hours? I think it's called
A Million Hours.
And it's a documentary about two Irish fighters who have just been signed by Cage Warriors, Owen Roddy and Paddy the Hooligan. And it's just a documentary to build up their fights and after their fights. It's a fantastic piece of work by the guys at severemma.com. So be sure to check out www.severemma.com. It's a top notch website. It'll keep you up to date with everything. They cover, you know, every bone of mixed martial arts. It's a great website, so check that out. And obviously you can find our very good selves.
Well, you're at Niall McGrath 4 on Twitter.
Niall McGrath 4.
At Niall McGrath 4.
At Niall McGrath 4. NIILLMCGRATH 4.
Don't forget the two L's.
Sexy guy with the cap on in the picture. And you can catch the magical Mark Moriarty at Mark Moriarty 101. And obviously you can find us at Talking Brawls. TalkingBrawls. Our American friends.
They can't put the S on the end. In fairness, Casera's pretty much got it.
Yeah, because he tweeted me today. That's true, actually. He saw the Talking Brawls on it.
But even after seeing it loads of times, loads of people still fuck it up.
And listen, we've been getting emails about a possible website. And listen, obviously we're 10 steps ahead of you motherfuckers. We're actually I have a site being designed at the moment, and it's going to be www.talkingbrawls.com. So we'll obviously keep you updated when that's going to be, you know, up and going. Also, if you want to email us directly, you can email us talkingbrawls@gmail.com. So get involved. And we're also on Facebook. Her Facebook page seems to be ripping it up these days.
It's tearing the page.
Facebook.com/talkingbrawls. And obviously you can get us on iTunes and Podomatic also as well. And you can find us on iTunes in the What's Fucking Hot section.
Yeah, it's that little thing. It's beside Joe Rogan's name and that.
Who's Joe Rogan?
I don't know.
Okay.
What are you up to for tonight now?
I'm off down you to bowling? A birthday party. Yeah, I've missed the bowling now. It's 11 o'clock. See, guys, I'm doing this for you. I'm missing one of my best mate's 30th birthday parties. Just for you, bitches.
We can do the small talk. Yeah, I have to go to the fucking birthday and then
we love it. We love it.
But can't feel my fucking face.
Best of luck to Mark. Mark's going in to hospital next week for.
Don't say I'm going to die. I don't want to die.
So get all your well wishes up on. Up on Twitter and Facebook.
Follow me to see if I die on Twitter.
You won't die.
I know, that'd be true.
Best of luck, Danny, obviously. We'll be back with a show, hopefully, before...
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday. We'll be a bit earlier next week.
So, we have Sean Wheelock from Bellator lined up, anyway.
Sean Wheelock, amongst others. Don't give too much away, Mark.
I'm not giving shit away.
And also, listen, guys...
Jesus is coming on.
We'd like to end it on a... Obviously, we started the show on a sad note. And we'd just like to dedicate the show today to... Emmanuel Stewart and Jeff Blatnick, two members of the combat sports world that sadly passed away this week. So thoughts are with their family and friends. So until next week, guys, talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.